I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about ways to help young people negotiate the path through post-secondary education. We'll discuss how they should go about making the right college choice and explain the process of planning for a successful future after they get out of high school. My guest is Dennis Bland, president of the Center for Leadership Development. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the statehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the Center for Leadership Development's 8th Annual College Prep Conference and College Fair. More broadly, we're going to be talking about the things we need to do to prepare young people to move beyond post-secondary education. And I should say that this conversation is part of our ongoing community conversation about getting young people to graduate, to get onto the path of success. American Graduate, which is the name of our ongoing conversation, is a product of a partnership between the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, many other partners, and many stations, including this one, to do that, to help people launch, young people launch themselves into successful lives. My guest today is Dennis Bland, who is the president of the Center for Leadership Development. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
It's good to have you here. And I should say to our listeners, if you want to join the conversation, if you want to give us a buzz at 866-476-3881, you also can find us on email at nolimits@wfyi.org or on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, first, probably the most immediate thing, let's talk a little bit about this event this Saturday, right? This weekend. Could you tell me a little bit about what the Prep Conference and College Fair is all about?
Sure. And again, thank you for having me and the Center for Leadership Development on the show. The College Prep Conference and College Fair was started 8 years ago with the idea of helping Indianapolis and the state of Indiana find answers and solutions to this ongoing concern and problem about the number of African-American and minority and underrepresented youth who were going to college but not finding much success. So within the mission of the Center for Leadership Development, we said that is right down our alley. We want to provide answers and solutions, and the way we think we can offer the greatest amount of impact is by having this conference that makes sure we get students and parents from throughout the state of Indiana mindful and conscious about college readiness and college success, and do that before they ever set foot in college by getting them ready in middle school and getting them ready in college so they can go to college and actually thrive and excel.
And I do want to talk about the larger issue here, the challenge that you're talking about, but for our listeners, I probably ought to ask you just some sheer logistical questions here. If someone wants to attend, how would he or she go about it?
Well, I have to say if they want to attend, they would have to find out what year we're going to have it or what day we're going to have it next year.
Oh, so it's filled now.
It is now filled with a few days to go. Last year, we had about 850 participants coming from throughout the state. This year, we're looking at a number right around 1,150 participants. So the word is getting around about the conference, the meaning of the conference, and hopefully the impact of the conference. So it is sold out for this year, but we look forward to having it again next year, hopefully.
So those 1,150 people who are coming, are those all prospective college students, or are they prospective college students and their parents or other family members?
Sure. It's typically the students, beginning 8th grade up to 12th grade in high school, and their parents. And of course, you will have within the mix of adults, grandparents, United Way big brothers, big sisters who will bring their little sibling matches along, even some grandparents. And then you have a number of community leaders who bring their youth groups out. You'll have educators who will bring some of their sports teams out. So we also recognize those coaches who give up their Saturdays, that particular Saturday, to actually come out and be with their the young people.
And what, since that it's an all-day event, right?
That is right.
So what all will you be working with these young people and their families? And I'm going to use the all-inclusive term, their mentors as well. And I guess I probably should say, in the interest of full disclosure, that my institution, Franklin College, is one of the participants. So it's out there for our listeners to understand that I have somewhat of a conflict there.
Well, the young people and the parents can look forward to a number of sessions being addressed regarding issues where, number one, educators say they need to be addressed, and number two, issues where some issues just have not been discussed at a more granular level, where we feel like they have to be addressed if there's really going to be change, if there's really going to be impact. And so, for example, not only will we talk about how to study, how to take notes, how to prepare for tests, but we talk about the more fundamental issues about education as a value, and even our value system, and even our mores and our values, and how that begins to impact prioritization, how it begins to translate into the decisions I make about whether I'll study and how long I will study. We really, at the Center for Leadership Development, we are really deep into the whole values proposition. So our entire youth development model is built on the belief that we all tend to live what we value. And so we believe that young people, by and large, have the competency, or at least the capacity, to excel academically. We just also believe and recognize that there are a number of young people who, if we are honest, and if they're honest, and they oftentimes are, they let us know that I don't give that kind of time and energy because it's not important to me. It is not a value in my life for whatever reason. And so those are some of those granular issues that we have to address if we feel like we're going to really make impact.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Center for Leadership Development's 8th Annual College Prep Conference and College Fair. It's happening this Saturday. Unfortunately, if you have not reserved your space already, you're going to have to wait until next year. But if you would like to join the conversation and talk about the larger issues involved, please give us buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So take me back a step or two and walk me through, since this is the 8th annual, you've done it for 8 years, what the thinking was in establishing the first one of these. What need did you see that was out there that screamed out for this kind of approach? And who were the groups that you were trying to serve?
Sure. The group targeted is African-American youth and their families. And the data was the driver. In the state of Indiana, the Commission of Higher Education and some of the other policy leaders were letting us know that, notwithstanding the large investment of dollars, 21st Century Scholars is a great example, and other tax-supported dollars, notwithstanding the investment of dollars coming from parents, grandparents, and people just wanting to see students do well, the reality was and is that you had a significant number of students who were going to college who just were not finishing. And even when you factored in public dollars being contributed through 21st Century Scholars, for example, we were finding over time that there still was not an increase in college persistence and graduation rates, notwithstanding the financial factor. And so it drove us to say there has to be a broader, deeper issue that we have to be looking at, because we want to help the taxpayer and we want to help these families really just increase the return on investment. How do we really make sure students and families are better prepared? And so that's what drove us to really try to create answers and solutions so that students going forward would have a preparation level and a level of readiness and a level of insight and a level of holistic readiness for college that you will have a larger percentage of them going, but also a much higher percentage of them who are actually persisting successfully from week to week, semester to semester, year to year, and a higher percentage that are actually graduating. So that was actually the driving factor. And then we have actually some higher education institutions that agreed to partner with us to start the conference so that we can offer this great experience at nominal cost. And so because of the support of colleges and universities, and yes, including Franklin College, Indiana University, and now a growing list of schools, we're able to offer an experience that costs maybe about $80 per individual to have this full-day conference, breakfast, lunch, breakout sessions, college fair at the convention center. We can give that for $15 because of our supporters.
So the cost to attend, if people come, is only $15, but the cost to your organization is somewhere around $80.
That's
so
exactly
everybody,
right.
other partners are making up the $65 for you. And in terms of the growth, I mean, obviously, you said last year they had 850. You're up to 1150, which is, by my math, somewhere around a 35% increase from last year. Where did you start at? Where was the first one? I mean, how many people participated in that one to get some idea of the demand?
Sure. The first, the inaugural conference was held on the IUPUI campus in their old campus facility, and we had about 97 people attend the first conference.
97 people, and then what were the sort of stages going forward from there? Because you're, by my math, you're now 11 times that, a little more than 11 times that number.
We had the second year just over 100, and then we begun maybe 4 years into the conference. That's when we hit maybe the 500 mark. And then over the last few years, it increased by just over 100 in those successive years. And until last year, we had 850, and then we had a significant jump, obviously, this year as the word continues to spread.
Is there a ceiling for you? I mean, is there a point where you're going to have more people who are trying to sign up than you can reasonably accommodate?
I think the convention center is able to accommodate up to about 2,500 people. And so once we get to 2,500, that's when we'll have to say that's our limit.
And would you think about doing it, if the demand gets to that point, would you think about doing it more than once a year, more than once, one weekend?
Well, certainly if the demand is there and if our sponsors would support it, we are certainly interested in doing it because as evidenced by the number of people coming from throughout the state, clearly there's a demand there.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Center for Leadership Development's 8th Annual College Prep Conference and College Fair, which is this Saturday. My guest is Dennis Bland. He is the president of the Center for Leadership Development. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the Center for Leadership Development's 8th Annual College Prep Conference and College Fair. And I should say that this conversation is part of American Graduate, our continuing community conversation about the importance of setting young people on a path to graduation and to success in life. It is a product of a partnership between the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, many other partners, and many stations, including this one. My guest is Dennis Bland. He is the president of the Center for Leadership Development. We were talking about sort of the evolution of the college prep conference and college fair before we went to the break. But I want to talk about the sort of the larger issues here, because I may be oversimplifying here, but what I'm hearing you say is that the motivation behind doing this is that there was a problem that a lot of young people, in particular, apparently African-American young people, who were not having success when they got to college, and we couldn't quite identify what the factors were at that point, much less what the solutions to those problems would be, and that some sort of intervention and or, you know, mentoring or guidance system was going through. So what were some of the problems you identified that this college fair and college prep conference attempts to address?
Well, number one is academic. Do I know the college standard? Even if I'm successful in high school, does that necessarily translate into being ready for college? So, and we know that the highest single predictor of college completion and college success is the rigor and the strength of your high school academic experience, where a number of young people and a number of parents just didn't know that. Oh, it's my senior year, so I'm just going to coast. I'll take a break, and I've been doing pretty well, so I'm okay. So there's that issue of academic readiness. There is also the issue of social readiness. Do I really understand what it means to socialize on a college campus and to become socially and culturally integrated into the environment where there is academics, but then there's also the social interaction? Am I educated on that? There is the economics. Oftentimes, you have a number of students, a number of parents who are not just first-generation college students. The reality is you have a number of young people, especially in the minority community, who are first-generation high school graduates. And so there is not this understanding about how the economics work in college. There is not the understanding about the difference between a grant and a loan. There is not an understanding that when you receive a certain amount of aid, that there are some other expenses that come into the mix, certain fees that we were not aware of. And so there's the economic component. But I just think generally we're dealing with an issue where there is this disconnect between the policymakers and the decisions we're making mm-hmm. versus the reality of where young people and parents are in terms of knowing what we have to do holistically to become successful at the college level.
Probably worth noting, this is not a problem that is specific to Indiana. I know that maybe because in most of my life I work in a college environment. I don't know if they've done it yet this year, but the New York Times every year does, you know, an eye-opening article that pretty much seems to arrive at the same conclusion, that 75% of the students who are going into college are not prepared to do college work. Which raises all sorts of questions. What methods have we found that are successful in terms of trying to address what I hear is, one, getting them ready to understand that the academic expectations are going to be ramped up when you get there. Two, that there are going to be pressures to negotiate, troubled social waters at times without necessarily the guidance of your parents or teachers to the degree that you're used to in high school. And then there's the third, the complicated understanding of college finance rules. Are those the three big areas that students struggle with?
I would say that's yes. And if there were another, it would just be more cultural assimilation. And even moving from an environment where perhaps education was not pushed in my home, education certainly wasn't pushed as a priority, or if education were pushed as a priority, there was not the insight in terms of how to navigate. And so I do not have the benefit of in-house counsel, so to speak, mm-hmm. at home. Parents care about me, but they really can't help me navigate. And so I would add that as another challenge.
Well, and this is my own experience, and I try to keep these out of this show because the show is really about the topic and the guests. But in my observations of college, it can be even, and this is not specific to any demographic group, I should say. This is somewhat across the board, even something as simple as if you have an 8 o'clock class and you choose to sleep through your alarm or you don't wake up, there is no one there who is going to come around and make sure that you get out of bed to get there. It falls to you at that point exclusively.
That's right. And I think you make a good point. There are some, to have a conference focus on empowering and equipping African-American youth is by no means to suggest that there is a broader challenge across demographics and across races. What we do know, however, the other side of that is that when you look at the numbers and when you disaggregate by race, there are the greater challenges and the greater difficulties. So, for example, in the state of Indiana, the four-year college completion rate in our public universities for African-American students is at about 12 or 13%. And for the six-year completion rate is roughly 22%. And so even though we aren't doing well generally as a state, in fact, we're probably ranking 48 out of 50 states in terms of college completion rates. Not surprisingly, we rank about 48th out of 50 in terms of average income or per capita income. So there is some unique challenge to Indiana, and I think a part of that is just that culture that has historically been about agriculture and a culture that's been around manufacturing, but not necessarily a culture that says, I feel I've been swept into the vacuum of academics and learning and higher education. That vacuum does not exist in this state as it may in some other states, and I think that's where you begin to see us having a challenge in terms of getting people really excited about college.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about ways that we can get young people to negotiate their post-secondary educations more successfully here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Sally did. Try us the old-fashioned way. Pick up the phone and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Sally, welcome to the program.
Yes. My question is, I have a daughter who went through this program, and now she has graduated from college. And I think it is a wonderful program, and I'm forever telling everybody that I know about it. And Dennis, can you tell us about how many students that may have gone through your program that may have graduated from college?
Sure.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Sally. We'll get you an answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll hang up now.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very much for the question. First of all, the college going rate for the Center for Leadership Development currently, first of all, the high school college completion rate for Center for Leadership Development graduates is currently at about 98%. And we actually have upwards of 70 to 80% of our young people who go will go to college, and then of that percentage that goes, we will have a six-year completion rate of about 50%.
So it's a little more than twice what the other average would be, right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, we are starting to see, as we continue to ramp up our academic preparation efforts, we're starting to see a trending upwards in terms of more students who are going and more students who are prepared.
Now, and I hope you'll take this question in the spirit in which it is asked. It's sort of the nature of the show to explore all avenues. Is some of this, though, a product of the fact that it's going to be the most motivated kids who agree to give up a Saturday and come and learn about that these were kids who might otherwise already be on the path to doing fairly well in college, that it's still a struggle to reach some of the students who might not even know about this or might not even know enough to know that they need help?
You got, and no, I'm not offended about it anyway by the question. I appreciate the question. I will say, having worked with young people for over 27 years, I am so impressed with their resiliency, with their commitment, with their motivation, but I think oftentimes we tend to give young people too much credit. Mm-hmm. If we're really serious about addressing underlying causation so we can find success, we have to admit that oftentimes young people just didn't get up and say, I'm motivated. typically when you find motivated children, it's because they were motivated parents or motivated caring adults that were actually getting young people motivated about going to school even when they were not motivated, because the adults were creating environments that said this is a value. And then over time, alas, you have young people who are 13 and 14 and 16, and wow, you seem to be so motivated. Well, they are, and we applaud them for that. We don't discredit them for that. But the point being that oftentimes those students are motivated because there was some motivating influence, or there was some motivated, again, either a parent, either a coach, either a mentor from Big Brothers, Big Sisters. It is about really trying to seed a value, because we understand, and this is what we teach at the Center for Leadership Development, we understand ultimately it's that internal value that receive that causes us to give our greatest investments. So if it's our value, then we give our most precious resources, our time, our dollars, our energy. And so a lot of young people, they are motivated on Saturday because someone invested in them. And now they have kind of adopted or assimilated into that value system that was taught to them, and that's how they can become motivated. But we're also finding when other young people, you bring them along and they're kind of late to the game, but after work and after effort and putting them together with the right type of counseling and the right type of tutors, then guess what? Their motivation indicator is starting to increase as well. So we're finding that the more we can, as we like to say, educate young people on an education and its value, then the more they begin to grasp the importance of it. And as we begin to teach them how to study academically, how to take notes, how to prepare for tests, this is why it's so important, they begin to experience some successes, then they begin to increase in terms of their own motivation and inspiration.
In terms of the, you know, sort of challenges we've identified, the academic expectations, the pressures of, you know, getting used to a new social environment, the navigating the whole, you know, financial labyrinth that is going to college, and even the sort of understanding the larger expectations, the cultural expectations that come with going to college. Which of those problems has proved to be the most difficult to address, the one that seems to be the most resistant to intervention and strategies to, you know, to lead these young people to successful college careers?
I would say the most challenging is probably the most fundamental, and that is the issue of, is this a value for me? Because we think everything else is really a byproduct. But you have a challenge. You have, I think, a twofold challenge. Number one, there's the challenge in society of saying that education is not important. Mm-hmm. So maybe I have not been raised in an environment where education is pushed. Maybe I have not been raised in an environment where someone actually expects me to come home every day and study and show me their homework. Maybe I have not been raised in an environment where someone is saying college is the expectation, college is the norm, college is the floor. It's not an issue of where, or it's not an issue of if, it's an issue of where. If I have not been raised in that environment, that's the number one challenge. Well, combined with that, a broader social or societal environment that says education is not for you. Education is boring. Education is irrelevant. It's a waste of money. So you have the fact that I'm not getting the positive reinforcement combined with the societal message that reinforces that this education business, this education enterprise just isn't worth it. And that's why you have so many challenges. So when you bring young people in and you're trying to equip them for success, you have a twofold responsibility or opportunity, generally speaking. Number one, here is the enriching information that you might want to know so that you can make the most informed decision. And you just begin to see the scales come off proverbially off the eyes of young people as you're giving them this insight. But then number two, there's the opportunity to actually de-teach or detox. Mm-hmm. This is what you have heard. This is what has been messaged in society. But this is the reality. These are the facts. This is the truth. Let's look at the average income, annual income for a student who has a high school diploma versus a college degree. Well, you may have heard this, but this is what the census data says. And once again, watch the reaction from the students. who just say, I just didn't know.
It sounds, though, when you talk about they've not gotten the message that education is important. I mean, how much of this is also about, to use your image, taking the scales off of the eyes of the parents as well, or the grandparents, and getting them to understand that this has to be a priority?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, and even crediting parents for so much of the young people's motivation and success, clearly the role of the parent is critical. And this is why we emphasize that, number one, we have to have parents involved in the Center for Leadership Development program. So that's why you have this college conference that isn't just for students, it's for parents. At every turn, we have gotten parents involved by saying, parents, your involvement is critical. But number two, we're also honest enough to recognize that there will be students where they will not have that parental backing. And this is once again why we emphasize so much the powerful efficacy of trying to seed a core set of values in the hearts and the minds of young people, because the expectation is that even though you don't have a parent involved, there's this idea called resiliency. There is this character trait called fortitude and these other character traits that can help you overcome the fact that you don't have a parent involved so that you can become successful nonetheless. It will be more challenging, but with the right type of mentors, the right type of people who are willing to stand in loco parentis or in the stead of the parent, we can help you become successful.
Who are the students who benefit the most from this sort of intervention?
I think the students who benefit the most are the students who have not had an education on the value of values, students who have not had an education on the value of character. Those students they benefit the most. I also think students who benefit the most are students who are not in environments where education, character, leadership, serving others, and having a career plan and learning how to plan for a career, if you are not exposed to that, you tend to benefit the most.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Center for Leadership Development's 8th Annual College Prep Conference and College Fair, which is this Saturday. Unfortunately, if you have not already signed up for it, you cannot attend until next year because they are booked. My guest is Dennis Bland, who is the president of the Center for Leadership Development. More broadly, we're talking about how we get young people prepared for success after high school. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881, or you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the Center for Leadership Development's 8th Annual College Prep Conference and College Fair. It's this Saturday. If you have not reserved a spot already, you're out of luck for this year. But my guest, Dennis Bland, who is the president of the Center for Leadership Development, assures us that he would love to have you there next year when they will host it again. And I should say that this conversation is part of American Graduate, our ongoing community conversation about the importance of graduation. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, this station, and many other partners want to emphasize that that is the path to success for young people, and we're talking on an ongoing basis about the ways that we can help them achieve that goal. We've been talking about College Prep Conference and College Fair, and I realize I probably should ask about the partners that you do have involved here. I mean, could you give us a range of the schools and other organizations that have lined up behind this event?
Sure. And we are thankful for the people in Indiana and throughout the country, a growing list that are supporting the Center for Leadership Development and the College Prep Conference. USA Funds is our title sponsor of the conference. Celadon has been a tremendous supporter. The colleges and universities like Indiana University, DePaul, Purdue University, Franklin College, Manchester College. We just had University of Notre Dame come on as a new partner, even schools outside of the state, Central State University in Ohio, Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids, Michigan is a supporter. North Carolina A&T University in Greensboro, North Carolina. So Chase Bank. So the list is growing, and that's where we're able to offer this conference, this dynamic conference at a very nominal cost.
We've gotten a question from a listener named Diane via Facebook, and if you would like to reach out to us via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. Diane says, if a person does not qualify for 21st Century Scholarship, does the Center for Leadership Development have scholarship programs or opportunities? I'm worried about how I can send my son, who is a junior, to college, but I don't qualify for help from 21st Century.
The Center for Leadership Development actually has partnerships with about 24 colleges and universities that award scholarships that have been earmarked for the Center for Leadership Development. And I think that's another testament, another indicator as to the 38-year track record of the Center for Leadership Development success, even though a number of people have never heard of the Center for Leadership Development. And so young people who participate in a minimum of two designated programs offered by the Center for Leadership Development are allowed to apply for these scholarships offered by these college partners. In fact, this past March, these college partners awarded a combined scholarship total to our CLD 2014 or 2015 high school graduates of about $2.8 million. $1.8 million. And so we do have colleges and universities that are supporting, so there are different ways of getting financing for college.
So if Diane wanted to explore these options with the Center for Leadership Development, how would she go about contacting you and getting her son involved in those programs? And then from there, I'm going to ask a follow-up even before I ask the first question, which is, what are some of those programs that allow these young people to qualify for those scholarship opportunities?
Sure. Our contact, or she can reach the Center for Leadership Development on our website at cldinc.org, cldinc.org, or 317-923-8111. And the programs that are specifically required is essentially a 13-week holistic executive development program called Self-Discovery Career Exploration. Young people come once a week for 2.5 hours a week for 13 weeks where they're exploring three questions: who am I, where am I going, and how will I get there? That program is a requirement to being considered for the scholarship. A second program is solely 100% focused on three strategic college success benchmarks. We offer a program called College Prep Academy, and it covers everything for young people and parents that emphasizes college admissions and enrollment, number one, college persistence, number two, and college graduation and completion, number three. You complete Self-Discovery and College Prep Academy, and they're eligible to apply for the scholarships.
And is it possible to do that? She says her son is a junior. I mean, in the time, obviously, I'm assuming, Diane, that your son is a rising junior, meaning that he just started this year, that there would be time in the course of an academic year to do both of them.
Absolutely. In fact, she could sign up right now for the Self-Discovery program, which will begin in the fall in September. She can sign up right now to get them enrolled in that program, and then in the summer of 2016, the College Prep Academy will begin.
We are talking about how we get young people prepared to have success at the college level. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what Richard has done and call us at 866-476-3881. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Rich from Indiana. It sounds like you're doing great things with the young people and helping them, you know, prepare for their future. But I just wanted to comment on just some of the verbiage that you're using in the program. And it seems like you stress college as a means to success. And I just wanted to throw out and get your feedback as to some of the programs that you have. Are they strictly for, you know, college per se? We think of a two-year program, but you know, there's a lot of success out there as well with vocational, you know, programs and one-year, you know, trade school type programs, and I think those can be a way for students to succeed. And sometimes I think when we look at a four-year degree, it seems so far-reaching for some folks that it seems like, you know, that's not even a possibility. And I just wondered if you'd speak on maybe the short-term type programs that might be out there for students as well, and the money that might be able to help those students.
And Richard, I'll step in and probably say, as a college professor myself and much of my life, you probably did catch me on that when my bias was revealing itself. But you make a valid point there, and I thank you for the call and for bringing it to my attention. Well, Dennis, I'll let you deal with the question now.
Oh sure. And Richard, thank you for the call, and thank you for your comment. And I just want to say that I take no exception to your comment. In fact, what I will say is we use college. We're really talking about some level of post-secondary education, emphasis, and preparation. So whether it's a two-year program, whether it's a four-year program, whether it's a one-month program, what we are really interested in is making sure young people, number one, have begun thinking about life after high school. And number two, beyond thought, have you begun cultivating a plan beyond high school? And then are you actually taking steps to actualize that plan that has been developed? What we're finding out is so many young people, number one, have not even given it honest thought. Whatever I'm going to do, whether it's going to be 3 year or 4 year, I just really haven't given a lot of time to it. And then number two, what we're finding out is because for different reasons, we think a lot of it has to do with lack of cultural influence around the area, around this issue. You have a number of young people who say, I'm not interested in college, but we are finding out it's only because I have no idea what college is. And once they begin to learn just what the opportunities are, what the demands are, then you begin to have young people making informed decisions. And so once you have begun the exploration, once you have had the proper counseling, if you feel like the two-year program is great for you, excellent. If you feel like the vocational program in electronics or welding is for you, excellent. If it's your desire to go to Harvard and Yale and Bryn Mawr, excellent. But what's most important to us is, do you have a plan, and have you researched to begin to actualize your plan? And then finally, I'll say, for a number of young people, you have to be careful. We have to be careful, because oftentimes this business of college isn't for me, it really becomes code word for I'm not really prepared to work and study hard. And so the thinking is that because I plan on going to a vocational program or a certificate program versus going to pursue a four-year degree, that I really don't have to work and study as hard. Whereas I'm finding out that there are a whole lot of bright people who are electricians, and the electrician will tell you that I had to study a whole lot, and I had to use a whole lot of math. And so I was never misled or deceived into thinking that because, quote-unquote, college wasn't for me, I'm going on the vocational route.
Have an easier path.
I don't have to study. I don't have to be as disciplined. As we say, these principles of success are the same.
Well, you said something a little earlier that has been stuck in my mind. You said that, you know, of the states in the country, we rank probably 48th in terms of success, in terms of sending, was it African-American students having completion rates for colleges or universities? I'm trying to gather the context there.
That's all students.
All students.
All students.
What accounts for that? And obviously you've studied this question very seriously. Well, that's not a good number. I mean, that puts us somewhere around the bottom 5%.
Well, yes. When you're ranking below Mississippi, then and not to disparage Mississippi, but there are a number of states when you're ranking at the bottom or that you're right there, then you know there's a problem. And again, I would just humbly contend that sometimes we as a community fail to appreciate the profound ramification and impact of culture, environment, and milieu. So is my thinking and my processing and my ideas and my aspirations really being shaped by something outside of me? And am I really being shaped and not even know it? You have this whole notion of introjection where the environment is essentially dictating how high I will go or how lofty I will aspire. And because you've had this culture for a while in our community and our wonderful state that says this higher education really isn't important, I can really make it agriculturally, or there are some wonderful jobs that are paying coming right out of high school in the manufacturing industry, I really am just okay. And when you start seeding that across a number of people and through a few generations, and then you come along and someone wants to kind of change the story or change the narrative, that doesn't always go down too well. And so that's the profound impact of culture. If your culture is positive, then that's fine. If the culture is negative, then you're faced a challenge. And that's why you have, if you're first of all conscious of what that culture is, then you can begin to implement thoughts and ideas and strategies that begins to combat that, not just the challenge of the young person, but the challenge of the culture in which they live.
And you may not have an answer for this question, but I think it's an important one to pose. For many, many years, for as long as I have been a reporter, when I've been talking to folks who are deeply invested in public policy, economic development, and education, the places where those intersect, they say one of the state's biggest problems is this question of brain drain, where even those we do successfully get through college or some other form of higher education have had a tendency to leave the state, which means those who have sort of identified the path to success are no longer here to point the way to the others who might follow them. Is that part of the problem as well, that we're not holding on to, in effect, our success stories in this area? So, you know, we don't necessarily have people around, as many people around, to show these young people just how it's done.
Well, I think that certainly exacerbates the problem, because you have individuals, first of all, maybe there's a community or a neighborhood or just a certain group or a demographic where I do not value education and learning to that degree or to that level. I don't have that level of aspiration. Now you combine with that the fact that the people who have that aspiration have decided to go elsewhere and essentially share their talent and their gifts and even their presence with other people in other communities. And so that is what compounds the problem. You would want individuals who have that gift and that talent and that ability to actually go into the environment where perhaps the education isn't the value, and you want that spillage, you want that spillover, you want that influence, so that people who have not heretofore had that experience, they are now thinking, oh, that's so inspiring, that's so interesting to me, I want to be a part of that. And so I think the solution is to say, it has to be a long-term strategy, but the long-term strategy has to be about cultivating our own. And in cultivating your own, what you begin to do is begin to incubate your own talent and your own intellect. And after a while, you have environments, because smart people want to hang around smart people. And so now you actually have motivated people who are actually in the environments of motivated people right here in your community. Now they begin to organically create experiences, create job opportunities, create opportunities for others, and all the while, because they are right here in the community, they too are seeding their peer group. So now there are people who are influenced in Indiana and in Indianapolis to succeed, just because I have these bright people who actually are now, instead of living three states over, they actually live down the street and around the corner, and they attend my church, and they're volunteering at the Center for Leadership Development. And so these individuals, the brain, it's no longer a brain drain, but it's a brain gain. But the gain is not coming from outward. The gain is coming upward as you're cultivating people with intentionality, and you have more of those people who actually want to stay in a motivated and inspired environment.
And obviously, if students and their families haven't made reservations for the event this Saturday, they can't for this year. perhaps for next year, are there other resources at the Center for Leadership Development they could use in the interim, places they could go to get some questions answered? And if so, how should they go about doing that?
Excellent. In fact, we're so serious about this college readiness business that we actually have what's called a College Prep Institute. We have a comprehensive college readiness resource center that is available to anyone in the community at no cost. You can actually come and meet with guidance counselors. They are available for students and parents. They're accessible in the evenings up to 7:30 on Monday through Thursday. They're accessible on Saturdays up to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And again, these resources are available free at charge. You can get reading assessments, build your math and reading skills, SAT preparation, career assessments. So there's a bevy of resources available for everyone at no charge.
And I think that'll have to be the last word. I would like to thank my guest, Dennis Bland, who is the president of the Center for Leadership Development. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Certainly, it's an honor to have you here. Also, would like to thank our listeners and offer a reminder that those of you who enjoyed the interview we did with William Hudnut will see a video presentation of that next Thursday at 7:30 on the TV side of our operation. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.